first lesson today is from the book of Acts, the 10th chapter. Opening its mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know the things which took place throughout all of Judea, starting from Galilee, after the baptism which John proclaimed. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all the things he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. God raised him up on the third day and granted that he become visible, not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God, that is, to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach to the people, and solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Of him, all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. Here ends the reading. The second lesson is from the book of Colossians, the 3rd chapter. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Here ends the reading. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 28th chapter. Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. For I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy, and ran to report it to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me." The Gospel of the Lord. He is risen. We are taught from a young age that if it sounds too good to be true, that it probably is. Many of us throughout our lives have been taken in by empty promises, and it's happened so many times that we've become leery of anything or anyone that tells us that we can have something for nothing. But God never is number one, he's not out of this world, and he has never made a promise that's too good to be true. Unfortunately, our world is full of people making empty promises. The advertisements on TV tell us that we can be happy, sexy, rich, or famous.
And all we have to do is to buy their product, and it will happen. And if you fall for some of these, you know, it won't be long before you realize that the world's promises are full of emptiness. But God never gives empty promises. But on Easter, He gave us emptiness that is full of promises. There are three promises that God gives us on Easter. And each promise is marked by something that's empty. An empty cross, an empty tomb, and empty burial clothes. The mere fact that each of these is empty assures us that God's promises are real, because they couldn't hold Jesus, because He couldn't be contained by the cross, the tomb, or even His burial clothes. Because that, we can be assured of the fullness of God's promises in our lives. On that first Easter morning, the women were on their way to the tomb. They were going to anoint the body of Jesus. And as they came to a rise in the path, they stopped. And it was a unique spot where they stopped at this rise, because if they looked to the right, they could see where the crosses were the day before, where Christ, or a couple, 2 days earlier, where Christ had been crucified. And on top of that mound stood three crosses, empty of the body, but full of God's promises, full of hope for you and me. Jesus really did die, and that's why we need to look to the cross. It's where Jesus died, but the cross is now empty. Empty of the body, but full of God's promises. The promise of the empty cross is that you and I stand forgiven, because it was on that cross that Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. Sin is a word that's not real popular anymore. It's politically incorrect, but the simple fact of the matter is that we have all sinned. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The only person who has ever lived a sinless life is our Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone else has fallen short. According to God's law, the wages of sin is death. He says the soul that sins will surely die. And because of our sins, we deserve God's punishment. We deserve an eternal death. However, when we look at that empty cross, it's a reminder of God's promise that we have been forgiven. Scripture tells us that God demonstrated His only love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. On that cross, Jesus offered His perfect, sinless life on behalf of each one of us. No one else has ever lived a perfect, sinless life. Not Moses, not Abraham, not David or Isaiah, nor Muhammad or Buddha. No one else has ever lived perfectly and then offered His perfect life for our salvation. That's why Scripture tells us there's no other name given under heaven by which we can be saved. And when Jesus breathed His last, He cried out, "It is finished." The penalty was paid. On that empty cross, His blood was shed for our salvation. Because of what Jesus did on that cross, you and I can now stand forgiven. That first empty promise of Easter was the empty cross filled with the promise of forgiven sins. And as the women approached the tomb, they were amazed at what they saw. The stone had been moved, and an angel was sitting there glowing. And the angel said, "Do not be afraid. For I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here. He has risen. Jesus had risen. Jesus was alive, and the tomb was empty. What a tremendous promise that holds. The empty tomb is the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and a promise to every one of us that we too will be raised to eternal life. For those of us who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, death has lost its sting. It's no longer something that needs to be feared. The angel said he is risen, and a promise to us is that we too can live even if we die. That is the second promise of Easter. After the angel spoke to the women, they immediately went back to the apostles and told them what they had seen. And Peter and John raced back to the tomb to see for themselves. And when they got there, Peter went into the tomb and found that it was empty. But Peter found the clothes that Jesus had been buried in, and they too were empty. And that could only mean one thing, and that's that Jesus is alive. If someone had stolen his body, they wouldn't have removed the burial clothes and left them folded neatly on that stone bench. Jesus was resurrected, and it wouldn't be long before Jesus would appear to Mary Magdalene and to the apostles. He would sit with them, he would walk with them, talk with them, and eat with them. They would be able to have fellowship with the Lord. That's the promise of the empty burial clothes. Jesus is alive, and he wants fellowship with each and every one of us. He's a living Savior, and he desires to have a close, personal relationship with each and every one of us, just as he did with his disciples. Stop and think about that morning. Think about the cross that couldn't hold him, the tomb that couldn't contain him, and the burial clothes that were unnecessary, because Jesus is alive. He talked, touched, loved, and healed. He did it the day of his resurrection, and he still does it today. And most importantly, he wants to do it with you. I hope that you truly know Jesus Christ and not just know about him. You can know his love, his care, his healing, and his forgiveness. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him, and I will dine with him, and he with me." At first Easter Sunday, as the women went to the tomb, they had no idea what was about to happen to them. They were not aware of the wonderful promises of that day. Off in the distance stood an empty cross, the promise that their sins were forgiven. At the end of their journey was the empty tomb, the promise of their eternal life. Inside the tomb were the empty burial clothes, the promise that they would once again have a close personal relationship with Jesus Christ, their living Savior. The promises that we share in, the promises that God has given us. I've just given you three promises that God has made to us: the promise of forgiven sins, the promise of eternal life, and the promise of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Unlike the world that we live in today, these promises are not too good to be true. They are promises that God gave us on Easter morning. The joy of forgiveness, the promise of eternal life with him, and a living Savior desires a close personal relationship with us. I trust that the Lord will truly bless each and every one of you this Easter day. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your Son and Father on this Easter Sunday. We are just so grateful that your Son is risen, that the burial clothes were empty. And Father, we pray that we can have that close personal relationship with Christ in our lives. We strive for that daily, Father. And Father, we are so thankful for what your Son has done for us on that cross and in that tomb and in the empty burial clothes. Father, we thank you for all that you do, for all the blessings that you bestow upon us. And Father, we pray that you continue to walk with us, watch over us, and bless us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our sermon hymn today is Thine is the Glory.